So I'm actually recording this for YU Torah also. I happen to be very excited about being able to learn together, even though it's officially a snow day. Let's go. We left off on Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. Basically, what happened is that we had this Yossi ben Yoezer who was being too makel, and we said that Yossi ben Yoezer is also makel on some din regarding tumah, that the yikrav lamesa misa'av, which really meant that the yikrav lamesa is going to be tahar. And originally the Gemara thinks what this means is that although tumah b'chiburin, according to the other tanoim, should be Tamei Shiva, Yosef ben Yoezer was Mekal, that it is going to be only Tamei one day. Is that correct? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. So now, the Gemara then comes along, and the Gemara says, here's up the Gemara, Lo Tislu Buki Sriki, where is that? Okay. So Amar Lohu Rava Lav Amin Lohu Lo Tislu Buki Sriki B'Rav Nachman Hachi Amar Rav Nachman Safek Tomer B'Shus Harabim Hitir Lahem. That effectively he was being matir Safek Tuma B'Rishus Harabim, and it had nothing to do with this din of Tuma B'Chiburin. Now Tosfos commented that this is the Tosfos Diyikrav. Tosfos commented that when Rava said Lo Tislu Buki Sriki B'Rav Nachman, it doesn't mean that Rav Nachman, it doesn't mean that we're saying Tuma B'chiburin is not Oraisa, but rather just that Yossi ben Yoezer is not talking about that. Correct? Now, the only thing is that although this is what Tosfos says, we pointed out that the Rambam in Perek Hey of Tumas Meis Halacha Beis, the Rambam basically paskins that Tuma B'chiburin is not going to be Tomei Shiva Min HaTorah. In other words, the Rambam Shita is that Tuma B'chiburin is only going to be Tomei one day Min HaTorah. It's not going to be Tomei 7 days. And the Sugya is, according to the Rambam, the sugya is moving away from what we originally thought. We originally thought that Tumah B'chiburin is the Oraisa, and then the conclusion is that Tumah B'chiburin is not the Oraisa, Tumah B'chiburin is the Rabbanon. So far, so good?
Okay. Rabbi Schwartz, there's a lot of background noise. I don't know who it's coming from, but can everyone mute themselves?
Wait, should I?
Someone's dorm room is very loud.
Okay.
This, also, like, sorry, I don't know if everyone else is having this, but it's like Richard's a little bit robust.
It looks like so far Tamar, Elisheva, and Michal all muted themselves according to my screen. Correct? Rachel muted herself. Eliana muted. Okay, thumbs up. Kayla doesn't seem to have muted herself yet, but we'll try to deal with this as best as we can. So far, so good? Now, basically what the Gemara... I guess if you want to say something, like gesture with your hands, and then we'll try to find out what's going on. Now, what the Gemara then comes on to say... Can you hear me still? Waving. Okay, good. What the Gemara goes on to say is that the Machlokis is really about Safek Tuma in Rishus Harabim. In other words, that Yossi ben Yoezer is saying that Safek Tuma Rishus Harabim is going to be mutter. Frek the Gemara of Hahilchasa Misota Gamrinan La. Isn't this already learned from Sota? Mas Sota Rishus HaYachid Av Tuma Rishus HaYachid. So Gemara answers, Ha'am Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Ve'in Morin Kein Ve'asa Ihu Ve'orile Uruye. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that Safek Tuma Birshus HaYachid is Tamei. Because we learn now from Sota, the Torah uses the term Vinitma'a by Sota. Vinitma'a means that she is Tameya. And Sota happens in Stira. It happens in private. So effectively, what we're saying is that sota, which happens in private, is tamei. So, and sota is only suffik tuma. No, you don't know for sure that she had an affair. You don't know that, right? It's only after we investigate that we'll know for sure. So suffik tuma is going to be tamei in Rishus HaYachid. But in Rishus HaRabim, suffik tuma is going to be okay. And that is derived from sota. Everyone good so far? Hi, Rachel, question, yes.
We didn't fully understand in Seder what a case of suffik tuma and Rishus HaRabim would be.
Okay, so a case of suffik tuma and Rishus HaRabim is as follows. Right, Rachel is asking, is that what is suffik tuma and Rishus HaRabim? And the answer, I think, is that let's say you walk through a field, and the field was a field that was already plowed. So there might have been a bone in the field. It might have been moved. So that's called suffik tuma. If it's the type of field that people don't usually walk in, or if it's at a season during the year that people don't walk in that field, that's called a suffik tuma in Rishus HaYachid. But let's say it was in an area that people walk all the time. You know, Yehoshua ben Nun made a takana that you can walk for Aliyah L'Regel in people's fields. So if it's in an area that people walk through all the time, that would be a suffik tuma in Rishus HaRabim. The definition of Rishus HaRabim for sota purposes and for tuma purposes is three people. So if there's three people, it's going to be tamei, if three people walk through. So that suffik tuma in Rishus HaRabim is tar. This actually is one of the issues that the poskim speak about. We talked about this question about the airplanes flying over cemeteries, didn't we? Let's say you're a Kohen, and you're on an airplane, and the airplane is likely to fly over a cemetery. For example, there's a cemetery in Chulon that is right near Ben-Gurion Airport. So it's likely to fly over the cemetery. Can a Kohen go? So some of the poskim said, maybe we could be Mekel, because it's Suffolk Tuma in Rishus HaRabim, because there are more than three people on the airplane, no? And if you're not sure that it's going over the graves, perhaps you could be Mekel based on this. Hello, Rachel.
Just to clarify, we said that the tuma we were talking about is tuma binogeya, right? Like someone is touching someone, so or touching something that was tuma.
Yes. Yeah, so
in this case, is it like you'd be touching a ground up bone in the field, maybe?
I mean,
like,
so it could be that, or I think the halacha is that we consider any contact with tuma to be like maga for these purposes. We're not distinguishing between maga, masa, and ohel, all of the forms of tuma. We're just saying that whenever you are halachically in contact with tuma, then it's a problem.
Okay, but what is the form of halachic contact with tuma that we're talking about here?
So the form of halachic context of tuma, I think, is whatever you are doing. Whenever you are intumate, whenever you are connected to tuma, that is considered halachic maga of tuma.
Okay, I'm not sure I fully understand, but maybe I'll understand more as we.
Okay, learn. I mean, let's try to go on. I think I actually lost where I am on my computer screen, but you can still hear me, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, here. Okay, I got it back. Look at that. Amazing. I mean, you can't look at it. You can't see me, but good enough anyway. Now, we learned from Sota that Suffik Tum and Rishus HaYachid is Tumei. Suffik Tum and Rishus HaRabim is going to be Tahar. Originally, the Gemara felt that this is Halacha Ve'ein Morin Kain. In other words, if someone would be in Suffik Tuma Rishus HaRabim, we would say that, you know what, really you're tahar, but we're going to tell you to go to the mikvah anyway. And that is actually the last line in the Gemara. Ki asur kamei drebyanai amar lahu hamaya b'shikeyasa de b'nahara zilu tvolu. Right? That Rebyanai said, you know what, go and tovel anyway. But Yossi ben Yoezer is saying, listen, Yossi ben Yoezer says,
it's halacha umorin kain. We will paskin that suffek tuma in rishus harabim is really tahar. Okay, wave if you understand this. Okay, we have like 5 out of 7 out of 6. I can't see Eliana, actually, on my thing, and there's one other person who I can't see, but that's okay. So far, so good? Thumbs up? Okay, this is actually, this is what they teach you in Azrieli. You know, you get the whole class to participate by just putting a thumb up or something. It works. Now, so the Gemara concludes that Suffik Tumen Rishus HaRabim is Halacha Umborin Kain, and we saw the Mi'iri had a comment on this Gemara. I think I gave you the Mi'iri on the source sheets. The Mi'iri basically said that there are Gedolei HaChachomim who were very frum, and they used to paskin that you should go to the mikveh even in the case of Suffik Tumah in Rishus HaRabim, which is what Rabbi Yanai seems to be saying. In other words, if I understand it correctly, the Mi'iri is telling us that Rabbi Yanai is not disagreeing with Yossi ben Yoezer. Yossi ben Yoezer is saying that it's Suffek Tuma in Rishus HaRabim is Tahar Halacha Umorin Kain. That's really the din. And Rabbi Yanai is just giving frumkeit. He's not giving the actual din, at least the way the Mi'iri is explaining it. So far, so good. Now, comes along Tosfos, the little Tosfos, HaHilchasa, and this Tosfos is actually a very important sugya in general. We're not going to go into it in great detail, but if you want to know what Rabbi Rosenzweig's first chabura that he gave when he was in the Kollel Elyon a million years ago, it was on this sugya. We learn Suffek Tuma in Rishus HaRabim and Suffek Tuma in Rishus HaYochid, and we learn them both from Sota. But Tosis is bothered by Yakasha. Why do we have to learn Suffek Tuma in Rishus HaRabim that it is Tahar based on Sota? In other words, that Sota is only Tamei in Rishus HaYochid, not in Rishus HaRabim. Tosis asks, why don't we say that in Rishus HaRabim you're Tahar just based on the halacha of Chazaka? There's a general halacha that we follow the status quo, correct? Thumbs? Okay, I see at least Rachel is shaking her head, right? So, thumbs up. There's a general halacha, we follow the status quo. We follow the Chazaka. So Tosis is bothered, why do you need to learn from Sota that it is going to be Tahar in Rishus HaRabim? By Rishus HaRabim, it should be Tahar based on the Chazaka. So Tosis answers that really, Suffek Tuma in Rishus HaRabim is not derived from Sota. Suffek Tuma in Rishus HaRabim, which is Tahar, is a regular halacha that we follow the Chazaka. That would mean that in a situation, and this is what Taisa speaks about in Nida on Daf Gimel, and in Sota on Daf Chavches, which is a Tosis I gave you, according to Tosis, in a situation where you do not have a Cheskas Tahara, so then the din would be that Suffek Tuma in Rishus HaRabim would actually be Tamei, according to Tosis. Let's say it's a baby who never had a Chazaka beforehand, no? A chazaka means a status quo, that my halacha yesterday was whatever. If I had no halacha yesterday, because I was a baby, so there were no dinim that were applicable to me, so then Suffek Tuma in Rishus HaRabim would not be Tahar, according to Tosfos. Tosfos in Sota, however, goes in a different direction. The Tosfos in Sota on Dav Chavches tells us that, you know what, we have to learn everything from Sota. Because Tosis explains, maybe when the Torah says Vinistera, when the Torah says that a Sota is Temeya in Rishus HaYochid, maybe the Torah doesn't really mean that there's a difference between Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim. It's just that Sota cases most often happen in Rishus HaYochid and do not happen in Rishus HaRabim. Right? Let's be honest. A sota situation, usually we learn a lot of halachos of yichud from sota, correct? But that doesn't mean that a sota situation has to be in Rishus HaYachid. Tosa suggests that maybe we can have a sota situation even not in Rishus HaYachid. It's just Diber HaKosuv Behove. Maybe the Pasuk is only speaking about the common occurrence. And if that's the case, says Tosis, so then I need the limud from Sota to tell me that, you know what, it's dafka in Rishus HaYachid, not in Rishus HaRabim, and in Rishus HaRabim it's going to be tahar. Okay, let's go by a show of hands or thumbs. Does this make sense to you? I don't have a single thumb up. That means it doesn't make sense to anyone. Tamar is smiling, Michal is smiling, Elisheva is smiling. That means that you wish it would make sense, right? But it doesn't make sense yet, correct? At least I get a thumbs up on that. Kayla, does this make any sense? Am I missing someone? Oh, Eliana's on, I just can't see her, right? That's the way it works? Okay, so now, basically, what Tosis and Sota is suggesting is that you really need to learn Safek Tuma in Rishus HaRabim from Sota. Or Tosis is saying that Safek Tuma in Rishus HaRabim is really based on Chazaka. But Tosis and Sota is saying that Safek Tuma in Rishus HaRabim is not based on the Chezkas Tahara that you have. It's a Halacha. That Safek Tumah in Rishus HaRabim is Tahar, even if there's no Cheskas Tahara. Tosis in Sota is saying that we really need to learn from Sota. Because if I wouldn't learn from Sota, I would think that fundamentally there's no difference in Tumah between Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim. Kamash Malan Sota, that we have a difference between Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim. Rachel, you have a question.
Yeah, I think where I'm getting confused is that, okay, if we're learning, Sota is called Vinitama, right?
Like
So that's what we learned, that even though she's only a case of a Safek, you don't really know she had an affair, we're still considered it Tameh, so Safek Tameh versus Yachid is Tameh, because that's usually the case of a Sota.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're saying, really, Sota could happen in Rishus HaRabim, we just happen to often happen in Rishus Yachid. So then why shouldn't we apply the same din? That the Pasuk says Vinitma, and it could happen in Rishus HaRabim, so Safek Tameh versus HaRabim should also be
Think what we're saying is that there's like a Hava Amina that Vinistera is not Dafka. The Maskana, the conclusion is that Vinistera, the fact that it has to be in private, is Dafka. I would have thought that it can happen in Rishus HaRabim also. Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is that no, that it's only in Rishus HaYachid. And by extension, the Chiddush is that the dinim of Safek Tuma are also, Safek Tuma being Tumah is also only in Rishus HaYachid, not in Rishus HaRabim. So far, so good? That, I think, is what the Tosis in Sota gets at. And, of course, there's a practical halacha application, like in the case of a baby that we mentioned, someone who did not have a Cheskas Tahara previously, can we say that they are going to be Tahar in Safek Tuma versus HaRabim? Show of hands, does this make sense? Thumb, hand.
So then there's a Stira in the Tutu's post.
There's a Machlokas. Right? So again, there can't be a Stira in Tosfos because in every Masechta, there's a different author of Tosfos, right? Tosfos Tosis in Avodah Zarah is Rabbeinu Elchanan, the Tosis in Sota is the Tosis Ivra, whatever it is. I mean, it's if you look in the back of Ephraim Orbach's book called Balei HaTosfos, he gives you a chart of every Masechta in Shas and who is the presumed author of every Tosis in every Masechta.
Or you can talk to Rabbi Kanderfogel.
Or you can talk to Rabbi Kanderfogel and he'll tell you why Orbach is wrong about three of the Masechtas in his chart, or something like that. Right. He talks about this all the time, is that correct? Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, ladies, should we begin Bishul Akum, which is like the most exciting sugya in Judaism? After Lifnei Iver. Those who are in the Shir Michal last semester know that Lifnei Iver is really the most exciting, but Bishul Akum is a distant second. We should also point out that Shir is supposed to end at 7:15, so I will just leave with like the following joke, that Bishul Akum does not mean cannibalism in Halacha. It does not mean whether you're allowed to cook and eat non-Jews. The Isser of cooking and eating Jews and the Isser of cooking and eating non-Jews are both both as repugnant and disgusting. Should I say, do people have 5 more minutes and we could do like a little tour on Bishul Akum, or people have to run?
We started a little late, so I'm open to staying.
Okay, show of hands. Stay, Elisheva, Tamar, Kayla, that's a thumbs up. Does Eliana want to stay? You want to text us, Eliana, if you're okay staying?
I'm good. Yeah, I can
stay for a minute. You're good. Okay. So let's... Okay. Now I see Tamar, I think. Okay, excellent.
Yeah, no, I think Tehila is here also somewhere. She's listening, I'm pretty sure.
Tehila, are you there?
I'll think she can respond. Oh, she's there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yay. This is actually working. Like, this technology thing is like kind of amazing when it works. I just have no idea how to get my computer to get my picture. I'll have to figure this out for next time. But hopefully we won't have any more snow days this semester, right? Fine. So the Gemara discusses Bishul Akum. And the Gemara says that Shlokos, which is called Bishul Akum, at first we think it's an Issur d'Oraisa based on a pasuk in Devarim, that when Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people on the way to the war Sichon and Og, that the Jewish people tell the nations around them that you should sell me food and I'll eat, you should give me water to drink and I'll drink, just let me pass through, but they don't let them pass through, etc. So the Gemara derives the halachos of Bishul Akum from this sugya. That's the beginning of the Gemara. Now, at this point, the Gemara thinks that Bishul Akum is an Isser D'Oraisa. The Gemara, however, later on says, no, Bishul Akum is not D'Oraisa. Bishul Akum is D'Rabbanon. And it remains unclear from this sugya whether Bishul Akum will be governed by the rules that we mentioned earlier of Nishtana al Yedei Ha'or. Correct? The Gemara at the beginning is saying that it has to be something similar, ochel, that's similar to mayim, and only if it changes through the fire is there an isser of Bishul Akum. The maskana of the Gemara is not clear if that point remains. The Shach, the first Shach in Simin Kuf Yud Gimel, the Shach tells us that acharei kichlos hakol, when all is said and done, you do not require a nishtana al yedei ha'or. That's what the Shach says. However, the other poskim disagree, and it's a beferish machlokes harishonim. If you look in the Ran over here, on daf yudalid amid beis, the Ran in my version of the Ran is around 10 lines from the bottom. The Ran writes that since asmechuha akra, it has to be something that's nishtana al yedei ha'or. The only time there's an iser Bishul Akum according to the Ran is when the fire changes it. But the Shach is telling us that when the Gemara says it's midrabanan, the Gemara is moving away from that point. Okay, now, weiter. The Rishonim over here are bothered by Akasha that we had since the beginning of the semester, which is, are Pas and Shlokos, are they the same Isser, or are they two separate Isurim? Correct? And the Rabbeinu Tam says that Pas and Shlokos are two separate Isurim. In fact, Shlokos, Bishul Akum, the fact that we thought that it is the Oraisa means that Bishul Akum is an earlier Isser than Pas. At first they assert Bishul, then Pas. Now this is a little bit interesting, because what Rabbeinu Tam is saying is that despite the fact that bread is necessary for everybody, Still, Chazal never assered bread at the beginning, maybe precisely because it was necessary, they didn't asser it. They assered shlakos, they assered cooked food, because since it's not so necessary, it's a way to kind of bring the person in. Precisely because, in other words, if I give you bread, that doesn't really show that I like you. All that shows is I don't want you to die. And there's a big difference between not wanting you to die and liking you. Does that make sense? Thumbs. Okay. Question, Rachel.
Doesn't the Ran say the opposite when we learned it at the beginning?
Nachon. So the Ran says the opposite. The Ran says that Pas was an earlier Isser than Bishel. No? And Pas was more of a fundamental Isser precisely because it's more necessary, it's more fundamental. So again, this Svara, they're both saying the same Svara, they're just saying it in opposite directions. If you look over here in the Ritva quotes a Ramban, he quotes Mori Haram, which is the Ramban, that the Ramban agrees with the with what we called the Ran at the beginning of the semester. Now, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, that Pas and Bishul are two separate things. So Tosas tells us that for the Rabbeinu Tam, when you make an Erev Tavshilin, you have to both cook bread or matzah, right? If you would have a Erev Tavshilin from Pesach this year. What's the last days of Pesach, by the way? Is it Shabbos and Sunday? Right, the Acharon Shel Pesach, Pesach goes from Friday to Shabbos, the last days of Pesach. So you're going to need Erev Tavshilin, the last days of Pesach this year. Do not bake bread. Because Pesach, we assume bread is forbidden. Everyone agree? Thumbs up? Okay, that's like a no-brainer. But when you do Erev Tavshilin, says the Rabbeinu Tam, you need bread separate from a cooked dish. And that's what most people do. They do like an egg and a matzah for Erev Tavshilin, right? Standard Jewish practice, you do an egg and a matzah. The Ri disagrees with the Rabbeinu Tam. And the Ri holds that fundamentally, Pas and Bishul is the same thing. Like we began the semester by asking the question that, you know, in Hilchos Shabbos, there's only one malacha. The malacha of Mevashel, Afiyah, it's all the same thing in Hilchos Shabbos. And that's what the Ri assumes. Nonetheless, the minhag is, like the Rabbeinu Tam, like Tosfos over here concludes, ha'olam nahagu la'arev b'pas v'tavshil, ho'ol v'yotza davar mipi halachos gedolos Rabbeinu Tam. Since Rabbeinu Tam said it, no one wants to disagree. If you look in the parallel Tosfos in Beitza on Yudzayin Amid Beis, Tosfos over there says that the Ri, who was a nephew of the Rabbeinu Tam, the Ri says, Lo mela ani libi lach lo galdodi. My heart never filled up. I can't argue with my uncle. My uncle, the Rabbeinu Tam, I just don't want to argue with him. But it's the same type of idea. So we use pas and bishul. Now this lecha ora should have tremendous hashlachot lahalacha. Let me give you an example. You know, we're going to have kulas by Bishul Akum. We'll see on Lamed Chesam and Aleph that if it's not Ola al Shulchan Malachim, if it's the type of cooked dish that no one would serve at a fancy meal, so there's no Isser Bishul Akum, right? Canned tuna fish, right? Again, assuming tuna fish is kosher, okay, Rachel? Assuming tuna fish is kosher, that's a thumb, right? So canned tuna fish is not Ola al Shulchan Malachim. At no fancy dinner would you ever give tuna fish. Great. So if it's not Ola Shulchan Malachim, there's no Isser of Bishul Akum. What about by Pas Akum? If I have a lousy type of bread, I have, the Gemara speaks about Pas Kibber. It's like pumpernickel bread today is assumed to be healthier, but in Talmudic times they assumed the stuff was lousy. Everyone agree that pumpernickel bread is really like, it's like sawdust? Michal, you disagree with this?
You're muted.
Yeah.
I love pumpernickel bread. It's one of my favorites.
Okay, I apologize for all those who like pumpernickel bread. We will still like you, even though you are making terrible mistakes. But the reality is that if you have bread that's not ola al shulchan melachim, is it going to be usser? This is a big machlokas in Yerideya at the beginning of Pas Akum. The Shach says that by Pas there's no kula of not being ola al shulchan melachim. However, Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz assumes that the kula of not being ola al shulchan melachim applies to Pas as well. This issue should be dependent on the Machlokes, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Ri, as to whether fundamentally Pas and Bishul are the same Isser. If you hold that fundamentally it's the same thing, so any Kula I have by Bishul, I should be able to carry over to Pas. No? However, if I hold that they're different, so then presumably I can't carry over the Kulas from one to the other. Rabbi Willig told me years ago that he originally said this in the shiur, then later on in life he felt that this shtickle Torah is wrong. Maybe next time we learn, we'll focus on why it's wrong. They say we have less than a minute left to this call, so maybe we should break over here. Any questions on what we said? Basically, this machlokas Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, and it should depend on the machlokas and achronim as to whether there's a kul of napping ola shulchan melachim by pas. Rachel?
Yeah, sorry, quick. Two quick questions, actually. One, we brought up the Ran that since it's in the Smachta, it needs to be something that could be changed by fire. And that was unlike the Shah, who said something.
Goodbye.
Again, so we got cut off with the conference call, but we did mention the Machlokis between the Ran is assuming that the Gemara never moved away from its original definition, not Nishtana Aide Ha'ar, and the Shach assumes that it did move away. Maybe next time we'll learn, we'll pick up on this. I'll try to put this shir up online. Thank you, all of you, for putting the shir together, and Yashikoach, Kol Tov, bye-bye.